Brevet, how are you doing? Ready to take a closer look at the sentences we saw in our 16th dialogue? In our previous class, we were in a different environment, right? We were actually at the bar. Our colleagues were just having a beer and chatting a little bit about work. Some of them had a long week, but they were finally able to just relax a little. And so today, we're going to work on the structures that we saw in their conversation. And as usual, I'm going to read the sentences slowly at first so that you can repeat after me. And then I'm going to read them at a normal pace and explain a little more about some words, some expressions, and obviously the pronunciation of some terms and some phrases. Shall we get started? Let's get going then. Sentence number one. He told me to talk to HR if I was offended. He told me to talk to HR if I was offended. No big secrets here. Let's just one more time remember about the pronunciation of the simple past of regular verbs, right? So offended has this strong ED sound in the end. So offended, offended, offended. I was offended if I was offended. He told me to talk to HR if I was offended. All right. She told me to talk to my boss if I was bothered. She told me to talk to my boss if I was bothered. Here we have a different situation. We have the verb bothered in the simple past. Bothered. And notice how the sound is just D. Bothered. 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 If I was bothered. She told me to talk to my boss if I was bothered, right? So we have offended in the first sentence and we have bothered in the second sentence there. All right, moving on. They told me to submit a complaint to HR. They told me to submit a complaint to HR. Two things I want to draw your attention to here. First of all is the pronunciation of the word complaint. As we have seen in previous classes, when we have this construction with N and T in the end, in American English, we normally don't pronounce the letter T. We have a very short ending, and then we kind of eat the letter T. It's a silent T, right? So complaint, complaint, complaint. It's a short ending, and the T is silent. Complaint, complaint, complaint. And that's our noun. Okay, so I can say, I made a complaint about our boss. I made a complaint about our boss. But my verb, the verb to complain, doesn't have a T in the end. So the end is long. Complain, complain, complain. As in, she always complains about her boss. All right, so complaint, a short and complaint, 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 and complain, a long and complain. Complaint, the noun, complain, the verb. I made a complaint about our boss. She always complains about her boss. I made a complaint about our boss. She always complains about her boss. Complaint, complain, complaint, complain. All right. Second thing that I want you to pay attention to here is the verb submit. Submit is one of those verbs that has a million different uses. First of them is the one that we see here in our example. She told me to submit a complaint to HR. Submit in our case here means basically to present for consideration or judgment. So if I submit a complaint to HR, I am presenting a complaint for consideration or judgment, right? I could also say, for example, I submitted my ideas to the manager. I submitted my ideas to the manager. That is, I presented my ideas for consideration or judgment. All right? Another meaning of the verb submit is to send for analysis. So if I say, for instance, I submitted a sample for tests, means that I sent a sample for analysis. It can either mean in terms of medical tests, so I can submit a sample to be examined, to be tested, right? Or I can submit a paper to be analyzed and published in a magazine, that is in academic terms. So I could say I submitted my paper for analysis to be published in a scientific magazine. So submit can mean send for analysis either in a medical sense or in an academic sense. All right? Submit can also mean to be subjected to something. So if I say I was submitted to an interview, means that I was subjected to an interview. I had to go through an interview. Someone made me have an interview. Okay, so to be subjected to something, to be submitted to something, to go through something because you had to. Someone told you to because you had no option. All right, and the last meaning that I'm going to present you today for the verb submit is to surrender to someone's authority. So if I say the employee was obligated to submit, I'm saying that he was obligated to surrender to someone else's authority, either his boss or the manager, the director, anyone else, right? So he was forced to surrender to someone's authority. He was obligated to submit. The employee was obligated to submit. All right, so we have here four different ways of using the verb submit that you can apply in your everyday conversations, right? So present for consideration or judgment, send for analysis, either medical or academic, be subjected to something, or surrender to someone's authority. All right, moving forward, I was told to report the situation to HR. I was told to report a situation to HR. Notice here that we have finally one sentence that is in the passive voice. All of the previous sentences were in the active voice. They were in the direct order, right? He told me, she told me, they told me, and then I was told, right? So this is the only one that is in the passive voice. And as you may recall, we can use the passive voice first if you don't want to say who told you. So I was told. I don't want to say who told me, right? Second, if I don't know who ordered me to do that. So I was told. I don't know who told me. Someone told me, all right? Or three, if that information is irrelevant. I was told to report a situation. Someone told me this person, doesn't matter who it was, right? That's not relevant for my situation. I was told, so I don't want to tell who told me. I don't know who told me, or this information is irrelevant. That's why I'm using the passive voice here. Okay, moving forward. That can have been good for him. That can have been good for him. Once again here, we have the situation in which we end a word with NT, right? Can. So as I told you before, in American English, we don't really pronounce the T and we have a very short N ending. So can't, right? That can have been good for him. That can have been good for him. That can have been good for him, okay? And also, as I told you last class, can't be means basically certainly isn't, right? So that can have been good for him. That certainly wasn't good for him. All right, that must have been very awkward. That must have been very awkward. Let's pay attention here to the pronunciation of the word awkward. Awkward, which is something like awkward, right? Awkward, awkward, awkward. That must have been very awkward. And also how we tend to link must and have and pronounce it as must have. That must have been very awkward. That must have been very awkward. All right? That was probably a terrible situation. Once again, be careful not to confuse terrible, which has a negative meaning, and terrific, which has a positive meaning, right? So terrible is negative, terrific is positive. If you're in doubt, if you don't really know, try to substitute terrible by a synonym, by horrible. If you can substitute the word by horrible and it makes sense, then it's negative. All right, so horrible, which comes from horror, right? It's easy to remember as a negative thing. So horror, horrible, terrible. Okay, so terrible and horrible are synonyms and they obviously both have negative meanings. All right, on our sentence 2.3, we have precisely this synonym there. That sounds horrible, right? That sounds horrible. Okay, moving forward. This is the first time something like this has happened to me. This is the first time something like this has happened to me. First of all, pronunciation of the word happened. Once again, we have a situation in which we only pronounce the letter D, right? So happened. This has happened. This has happened to me. This has happened to me. This is the first time something like this has happened to me. And also the pronunciation of this is, right? We pronounce it linking those two words. So this is. This is the first time something like this has happened to me. All right? But why am I using the present perfect here in this sentence? Remember that I told you that we also use the present perfect to indicate a situation, an event that happened in the past. So event that happened in the past, but has present consequences or results. So if I'm using the present perfect here, it's because my event happened in the past, but has consequences in the present. This is the first time something like this has happened to me. So something like this, this event happened in the past, but because I'm saying has happened, it means that I still suffer the consequences today, right? The same thing happens in our next sentences there. This has never happened to me before. This has never happened to me before. Once again, I have an event, I have a situation that happened to me in the past, but still has consequences in the present. This is the first time I've had to deal with this kind of situation. Let's remember one more time that when I pronounce kind of in a fast speech, I'm gonna say kinda. Right? Kinda situation. This kind of situation. I've had to deal with this kind of situation. This is the first time I've had to deal with this kind of situation. Okay? 3.3. I've never seen this happen before. Once again, situation that happened in the past and still has consequences in the present. Let's once again remember the difference in terms of pronunciation of sin and seeing, right? So sin is the participle of see. And then we have seeing, which is the gerund of see, right? Okay, so sin, the participle, and seeing, the gerund. Sin, seeing. I've never seen this happen before. All right, moving on. It's all water under the bridge. We've seen this sentence in our previous class. It means that everything that happened is already in the past. Let's forget about it. Let's not talk about it anymore, right? Now let's see some other ways of saying the same thing. First of all, in the most obvious way, it's all in the past. It's all in the past, meaning that things that happened in the past should remain in the past. Let's not talk about it anymore, right? Let's just forget about this. Once again, let's leave it in the past. Let's leave it behind us. Here, let me just reinforce the difference in terms of pronunciation of the words leave and live, right? Leave and live. The first one has a long E sound, so leave. And the second one is more like live, right? So leave and live, leave, live. Let's leave it behind us. Let's leave it behind us. Let's leave it behind us. Okay, moving forward. It's not worth it to keep thinking about this sort of thing. It's not worth it to keep thinking about this sort of thing. We've already seen this expression in our previous class. It's not worth it, meaning that there aren't many advantages. There are more disadvantages. There are no benefits. So it's not worth it. There are no benefits. But there are more different ways of using the word worth. And to explain them to you, I'm going to call my friend, my colleague, Luis.
For such a simple word, worth actually has a lot of different uses, which may make it quite confusing for somebody who is seeing it for the first time. So it's worth a closer look. First of all, the most common usage. You can say that something is worth something else. In this kind of phrase, worth is always used with the verb to be when you're comparing two nouns with regards to value. For example, this computer is worth $10,000. Can you believe it? Our success is worth all this effort. You can also say, for example, that something is worth doing. In this kind of phrase, the verb in the second position always ends in ing. For instance, this movie is absolutely worth watching. She's very experienced. Her advice is worth considering. On the other hand, you can also use worth after a quantity used in a possessive form to talk about amounts or values. This may sound strange, but it's rather simple. Let me show you. Last year, we imported $1 million worth of raw materials. He didn't back up his project, so he lost a week's worth of work when the power went out. Worth can seem like a strange word, and although it can be a bit confusing, it is also worth learning.
All right, now that I've seen how to use the word worth, let's see one more example here in our class. Forget about it, it's not worth your time. Forget about it, it's not worth your time. Let's pay closer attention here to the pronunciation of this sentence because we have many words that are linked. So forget about it. Forget about it is one part that is all linked. So I'm going to say everything together. Forget about it, right? Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. It's not worth your time. Worth. So attention here to the pronunciation of worth because of the TH sound in the end, right? So worth. It's not worth. It's not worth. But right after worth, we have a word that begins with a vowel sound, which is your. So worth, your, I'm gonna once again say them together. So worth your, worth your, worth your, worth your, worth your time. It's not worth your time. It's not worth your time. Forget about it. It's not worth your time. Okay, moving forward. Thinking about this is not gonna lead us anywhere. Thinking about this is not going to lead us anywhere. Here, let's pay attention to the pronunciation of the word lead, right? Which is not the same as lid, okay? Lead, the verb lead, comes from leader, from leadership, from guide, right? So lead, I could say guide. While lid, the word lid, normally has two different meanings. We can either talk about eyelid, the eyelid, which is this part of the eye here, where you put eye shadow, right? That's the eyelid. Or it can be the removable cover of a box or a bottle. So you have a box or you have a bottle and you have the lid, you have the cover. That thing you remove to open it. So that's the lid, right? So attention here to the distinction of these two words. We have lead, the first word there, lead, and lid, lid, lead, and lid, lead, lid, lead, lid. Okay, so what we have here in our sentence is the first one. Thinking about this is not gonna lead us anywhere. Lead, lead us anywhere. Gonna lead us anywhere. This is not gonna lead us anywhere. Thinking about this is not gonna lead us anywhere. All right, last sentence from this page. Let's just pretend this never happened. Let's just pretend this never happened. Attention here to a false friend. The word pretend is a false friend. It actually means to fake, to simulate, right? So pretend means to fake. So let's just pretend, let's just fake, let's just simulate this never happened. All right, moving forward. It's been a long week. It's been a long week. Once again, attention to the pronunciation of been, right? Which is different from being, okay? So been, it's been a long week. And once again, as you already know, a long week means a week of hard work. It was very tiring. It was exhausting. Too many things to do. So a long week, all right? What a stressful week. What a stressful week. Once again, we have here one situation of those verbs that end in full, right? So stressful, full of stress, as you probably remember, right? So careful, full of care, helpful, full of help, and so on, all right? I'm glad this week is finally over. I'm glad this week is finally over. No big secrets here. Let's just remember that we use the word over when we want to indicate that something is finished, that something has ended. All right, so it's over, something is over, to be over. To be over means to be finished, to have ended. All right, I had a lot of stuff to do this week. I had a lot of stuff to do this week. Once again, we have the magical word stuff here, which is basically an abstract concept, right? Meaning things in general, not specific. Okay, so moving forward, I finally finished the server update. I finally finished the server update. No big secrets here, so let's move on. I'm finally done with the training materials. I'm finally done with the training materials. Here we have an interesting expression, which is to be done with. There we have, I'm finally done with the training materials, which means basically to have finished. So I have finished reading the training materials. I'm finally done with the training materials. I could also say, I think I'll be done with this project by noon. I think I'll be done with this project by noon. I think I'll have finished this project by noon, right? I can also use this expression to talk about people. So if I say, I'm totally done with you, means that I can't stand you anymore. We are over. We are finished because I can't deal with you any longer. So I'm totally done with you. I'm done with you. I don't want this anymore. I am finished. I am ready to break up. Okay, so to be done with has this idea of finishing something. Okay, I've just finished doing what you requested. I've just finished doing what you requested. This is a very good example to talk about one of the uses of the word just. If I say I've just finished doing what you requested, means that I finished doing what you requested just a moment ago. So just can mean only a moment ago, right? I've just finished doing what you requested. I finished doing what you requested seconds ago, minutes ago, only a moment ago, right? So I could say also, I've just finished doing my homework, right? I've just finished doing my homework. I finished doing my homework just a moment ago, only a second ago, right? So I've just finished doing my homework. Important here that we're gonna use the word just, meaning only a moment ago, together with the present perfect. Okay, so I've just finished. I've just finished doing what you requested, okay? They're almost done with the maintenance tasks. They're almost done with the maintenance tasks. This sentence here has a word that sometimes can cause a little confusion in terms of pronunciation, which is the word maintenance. Maintenance, okay? So the stressed syllable of this word is actually main. Maintenance, maintenance. Maintenance, okay? So maintenance tasks with the maintenance tasks. They're almost done with the maintenance tasks. All right, moving forward. That's a weight off my shoulders. That's a weight off my shoulders. So once again, I had a weight on my shoulders. It was a burden that I had to carry. It was very hard. It was very difficult. And now I am done with that. So it's a weight off my shoulders. All right. That's a relief. That's a relief. No secrets here. I'm relieved to know that. I'm relieved to know that. This is a good opportunity to talk about the difference between relief, the noun, and relieve, the verb, right? So you could say, this is a great relief. This is a great relief, but I'm really relieved that you called. All right, so relief the noun and relieve the verb. And in the simple past, relieved, relieved, relieved. I'm really relieved that you called. I'm really relieved to know that. Okay? I'm glad that's finally sorted out. I'm glad it's finally sorted out. This expression here, sort out, is normally used for two different things. First of them, and the most obvious one, is to separate and arrange according to some proprieties. So you have the same category of things, so you sort them out. All blue things, all red things, all yellow things. You're sorting out based on color. Or big things and small things. You're sorting things out based on size and so on. So you're separating and arranging things depending on their proprieties, right? Or it can mean, as we have in our example here, to understand or solve a problem, right? So I'm glad it's finally sorted out in our case here. I'm glad that our problem is finally solved, is finally understood and solved. If I say, for instance, I need to sort this issue out. I need to sort this issue out. So I have to understand, I have to resolve to solve this issue, this problem. All right. And attention here to the pronunciation of sorted out. It's all linked as usual. So sort it out, sort it out, sort it out. It's finally sorted out. I'm glad it's finally sorted out. All right, moving on. You've been telling me that for at least 2 weeks. You've been telling me that for at least 2 weeks. No secrets here. Moving on. You keep talking about that all the time. You keep talking about that all the time. We have an interesting use of the verb keep here, which is keep plus a verb ending in ing, basically meaning to continue or not to stop doing something, right? So if I say keep walking, what I'm trying to say is continue to walk, don't stop walking. If I say she keeps yelling at me, she keeps yelling at me. She continues to yell at me. She doesn't stop yelling at me. Okay, so you keep talking about that all the time. You don't stop talking about that. You continue to talk about that all the time. All right, you've been saying that over and over again. You've been saying that over and over again. You may think that it's too much to say over and over again, but it's not, right? In Portuguese, it would be too repetitive, but in English, it's perfectly fine. Over and over again means basically repeatedly, right? So over and over again, repeatedly, it won't stop. All right, so it's a very, very common expression. You probably already heard it in movies or series and so on. So over and over again, repeatedly, okay? You keep saying that, but I don't know what you mean. You keep saying that, but I don't know what you mean. We've already talked about the word mean here before, right? There are many different uses of the word mean. And in our case here, mean is trying to say, right? So you keep saying that, but I don't know what you're trying to say. What are you trying to say? What do you mean, right? You keep saying that, but I don't know what you mean. Okay, moving forward. Let's just say it was quite a challenge. Let's just say it was quite a challenge. This is a very interesting expression we have here. Let's just say. We can use that every time we don't want to give more details about something. So we say that when you don't want to give details. Okay, so if I say, let's just say she didn't want to come. I'm not giving the details because I don't want to give you the details. Let's just say she didn't want to come. I don't want to explain anything to you. I could also say, let's just say it was a long week. I don't want to give you the details of why it was a long week. I don't want to explain to you why the week was long. So let's just say it was a long week. All right? It was a very hard task, to say the least. No big problems here. I had a hard time finishing that job. This expression here, also very used, also very useful. To have a hard time. Have a hard time, meaning to have difficulties, right? And if you're going to use this expression, have a hard time, before a verb, your verb has to have ing. So have difficulties to do something. So if I say, I had a hard time understanding that book. I had difficulties to understand that book. I could also say, he had a hard time living abroad. So he had difficulties to live abroad. He had a hard time living abroad. So if you're going to use the expression, have a hard time, to express difficulties, then your verb has to be in the gerund. I had a hard time understanding that book. He had a hard time living abroad. I had a hard time finishing that job, and so on. Okay? I'd say it was a very difficult task. No secrets here. Let's move on. He's a consummate professional. I've already told you in our previous class that this word consummate means a perfect profession. He is a great professional. He is a true professional, right? He is a very responsible worker. Attention here to the spelling of the word responsible. Okay, with an I, responsible, with I. Responsible worker. He's a very responsible worker. So be careful when you're writing it down. R-E-S-P-O-N-S-I-B-L-E. Okay, responsible. He holds himself to a very high standard. A very interesting expression here, once again. To hold oneself. It can be himself, yourself, herself, and so on, to a high standard means to have high expectations, right? So he holds himself to a very high standard. He has high expectations for himself. So he tries hard, he works hard because his expectations are also high, okay? His performance is always exceptional. No secrets here. Moving on. I'm definitely gonna need your help on that. Attention here just to the pronunciation of the word definitely. Okay? Definitely. I'm definitely gonna need your help on that. Okay? I'm certainly gonna need some assistance. Once again, attention to the pronunciation of the word certainly, right? Certainly. I'm certainly going to need some assistance, okay? Your help would be really appreciated. Once again, we have here the word appreciate, which means basically that you are going to be grateful for something, right? So your help is going to be really appreciated. We're going to be very thankful, very grateful for your help. All right? I would really appreciate it if you helped me with this. No big secrets here, right? Next page. I'm not sure I'm the right man for the task. I'm not sure I'm the right man for the task. I don't think I'm your best choice for this job. I don't think I'm your best choice for this job. I'm not well suited for this assignment. I'm not well suited for this assignment. Interesting expression, this one, well suited. Well suited means basically appropriate, adequate, or fit for a specific purpose. So if I say she's not well suited for that position, it means that she's not adequate for that position. She's not the right person for that position. She's not well suited for that position. I'm not well suited for this assignment. I'm not the right person. I'm not the appropriate, the adequate person to do this assignment for you. Okay? My skills are better used elsewhere. My skills are better used elsewhere. Another interesting expression here, the expression elsewhere, which means basically another place or a different place. So my skills are better used elsewhere. My skills are better used in another place, in a different place. All right? That's gonna be crucial. That's gonna be crucial. No secrets here. That will be absolutely essential. That will be absolutely essential. Again, no secrets. This is gonna be indispensable. This is gonna be indispensable. This is really business critical. This is really business critical. Remember I told you about the adjectives that have this critical in the end? It means basically that something is crucial or essential, depending on what I'm talking about. If it's business critical, it's crucial or essential for the business. If it's time critical, it's crucial or essential in terms of time and so on, right? So this is really business critical. It's really crucial. It's really essential. It's really relevant for the business. Okay? Last page. We can't afford to risk losing our progress. We can't afford to risk losing our progress. Let's take this chance to talk about the difference between lose, the verb, and lose with double O, which is the adjective, right? So lose, the verb, as you know, means to experience the loss of something or someone, right? So I could say, I lost my keys. I lost my keys. I experienced the loss of my keys. I don't have my keys anymore. The adjective lose, on the other hand, means basically not tight. So if I say, this dress is too loose, this dress is too loose, it means it doesn't fit me properly. It's not tight enough. It's too loose. Okay, so loose with one O is the verb to experience the loss, loose, and loose is the adjective that means not tight. All right, so we can't afford to risk losing our progress. This lose has only one O, okay? Losing our progress would have terrible consequences. Losing our progress would have terrible consequences. Once again, we're talking about lose with only one O. We have to make sure we don't lose the work we've finished. We have to make sure we don't lose the work we've finished. Once again, lose the verb with one O. It's essential that we keep an up-to-date backup of our work. It's essential that we keep an up-to-date backup of our work. Here we have the interesting adjective up-to-date, which is basically the same thing as updated. Okay, updated, which comes from update, as you probably know, which means containing the latest information, right? So something that regards the present moment. It's essential that we keep an up-to-date backup. It's essential that we keep an updated backup of our work, something that has the latest information available. All right, so this is the end of our 16th Business in Focus class. Don't forget to do your memorization hack practice. Practice saying the sentences again, listening to them as well, and I will see you in our next dialogue class. See you later, private.